This is an AMI podcast. This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Kelly McDonald. Here's a segment from our show, Kelly and Company, that airs weekdays from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern on AMI Audio. Remember to listen to AMI Audio on your TV. SaskTel customers, look for us on channel 555. And Rogers out there, Atlantic out in the east, you guys can find us over on channel 196. Visit AMI.ca/audio for a list of channel locations in your area. Well, Margaret, we're carrying our way through a Friday edition of the program. And, of course, saying to everybody out there, thanks for being with us. Remember, the first repeated show is at 5 p.m. Eastern, if by chance you can't catch the show live. Margaret Weldon, my co-host in West Toronto. Kelly McDonald, host in London, Ontario.
I tell you what, I can feel that gate swinging open a little more as we process on here. But right now, it's time for us to talk audiobooks with Ryan Hui.
Who knew an entire library could fit inside your pocket? My name is Ryan Hui. This is The Chatty Bookshelf, and we talk all things audiobooks.
Hello, Ryan. How are you?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. I am absolutely wonderful. How about you guys?
Doing well. Looking forward to the weekend. What do you want to start with today?
Well, it's the long weekend, guys. So just remember, get those AudioSync books in. Two new free ones just got released as of Thursday. So if you're keeping up with it, there's some great books out there. So get them and they're yours forever. You can listen as many times as you want. And they're, like I said, they're yours forever. But what I really wanted to talk about is something that was really awesome that caught my eye last week on social media. And the buzz is getting pretty big about it. And I'd really like to see it adopted worldwide, or at least brought to many different countries. It's going on across the entire world, and it's in South Korea. So it is called Book eDream, and it's a really cool program, and it's kind of just hitting its stride because it was about 2 years ago it was released, and now they're really seeing the benefits of it. So it's something that I hope to see Canada or even Ontario adopt too, because it's really, really cool.
Boy, do you get excited over these things when something's launched, you know, don't know what's going to happen. You have no idea how it's going to, in the end, and I don't even want to say the end, down the road, look like and what it does for you. So what is this?
So this is a program that, like I said, started 2 years ago, but it's aimed at school-age children and teenagers. So it's a collaboration between the school boards, the government over there, and something called the Latte Scholarship Fund. And what it is that they're giving students and teachers access to all kinds of media and books that aren't in the curriculum. Mm. And this, it's kind of promoting a positive reading culture. I really like that term, and they said it many, many times in the two or three articles that I wrote. So it's actually really cool. And now students can borrow up to 10 books at one, or the majority of them are ebooks, which, you know, are still accessible, but there are some audiobooks, some other media stuff that's in there. But, you know, the vast majority, you know, 8 out of 10 things are pretty much ebooks, but it's giving students the opportunity to take reading to the next level almost. And it's giving teachers the opportunity to recommend stuff that maybe they wouldn't because it's not in the core curriculum.
Mm, this looks great. So let's just kind of look at this. So it's open to everyone in the system, whether it be teachers, the students themselves. I got to wonder, Ryan, when we always talk about, well, who's making the choices of what's going to be available? What are the controls, whether they be parental or whatever? But here you've got a wide range of student staff. So you're looking at ages, reading abilities, and so on. Any idea how that is being, all this stuff is being curtailed?
So what it said in the article was that, you know, the school boards and the teachers are making, I didn't understand, like, the teachers, they're so busy already, right? So that to add more to their plate, but they're making sort of partnerships with mainstream publishers and things like that to get the books in the hands of of the students and of the teachers, right? And it's even they've even adopted some new books into the curriculum where it's let's read this instead of that kind of thing. And it's really, really cool because the numbers kind of speak for themselves. So I said 2 years, they have 86,000 students that have borrowed just over 85,100 books. So that's one book per student that has used the service. Like, I think that speaks for itself right there, right? Like you're just lending out at least one book, and you know, you have those keen readers, the people like us that would, you know, hey, let's get 10 and 10 and let's do it all. But the thing that's really, really cool about this is that even if for whatever reason you're a student and you drop out of grade school, high school, I hope not grade school, but high school or something like that, you still have access to the program because they're trying to, I don't want to use this word, but lure you back into school by saying, hey, keep all the reading and everything going strong and let's get you back in and maybe you'll become interested in what books you're going to read in your classes there. So I really, really like that.
I wonder, Mags, what, and Ryan, you can comment on this, but, you know, Margaret, when you think about what stuff you're now giving people access to read, putting it right there available as they're scrolling through, you have to wonder, and especially with them using kind of media, the term, you start thinking, there's going to be a lot of information. I really wonder what people are finding that they're drawn to.
Yeah, it kind of makes me wonder that myself. And it also makes me wonder too, Ryan, because we have an idea of what the program is and kind of who's involved, but what else does it entail?
So there's actually lots there, right? So I've been reading some articles about it and there's been some tweets and stuff, but a lot of them unfortunately are I would assume in Korean. And you know, Siri takes over and VoiceOver takes over and it reads it back to me in Korean. So I don't think I'm getting 100% of the actual data, but what they're saying is that these books are, it's pretty much like a login password situation. You can use it from your smartphone, your tablet, anything, computer, that sort of thing. So it's, you know, wherever you are with internet and, you know, the students are just gobbling this up. And it's really cool because this was sort of implemented before the pandemic. So if you look at it in terms of accessibility, I think they were going for more of that and it just turned out to be perfect timing on their part. So I'm wondering if school boards or countries around the world are looking at this and saying, wow, why don't we do that? Because I would love to see, you know, kids, high school, you know, elementary school kids, middle school age kids be able to take advantage of a program like this in Ontario and anywhere in Canada, really.
It's, and you were saying the numbers, you know, of how many people are utilizing the service, and that's really impressive. It really makes you stop and say, how are these books being made available? Who's allowing them to be, hey, you can just download this. Don't worry. Hey, you can keep it, too. It kind of makes you feel good when you look at things like the Marrakesh Agreement and things like that that we look at, Ryan, for accessibility and making books accessible for the disabled community. Now you see, as we have been saying all along since you've been on this program, how much audiobooks are the thing worldwide for everyone now, and programs that were one time, hey, if you have a reading challenge, you need books, you can borrow it from the library, from the Talking Books or the home library, or you can, you know, start downloading it from Disk Drive or from the Celula. Now, this is becoming stuff, whether, you know, you're fussy about the books or not, or the book choices that are being made, but making reading so accessible for everyone around the world, in different countries around the world, and in places maybe where sometimes that availability of digital books or any books, maybe even more of a challenge.
I would almost think, too, that it almost makes the world become smaller in some ways, because it seems to me it's not only that the reading is now becoming more accessible, but look at the book clubs and the different events that are coming out of something like this. I mean, not just for Sila, not just for Bookie, but I would think a lot of different things across the world. Eh?
Well, and you just said it, even like book clubs that form because this is possible for staff to get together and put one together, or students who want to get together and read together, Ryan.
You both are absolutely right. And that was the number I was looking for. How many books are available? And I'm sure it's there, but quite possibly it was just part of the data I was missing, right? Because you would think if they're giving let's say 86,000 students the ability to borrow 10 books each, that's got to be a pretty extensive library. So like you said, where are they getting these books? I love that it's just so accessible, not in the sense of, I guess in the sense of accessibility for, you know, those that do use accessible technology, but just for every student, right? I think they got it right when they're looking at, this is for everybody. This isn't just for the air quotes print disabled. And I think that's the approach that we should take in our daily lives with almost everything, right? You know, let's look at this for it's for everybody. It's not just for this person or that person, despite what air quotes disability they might have, right? And that's what I really, really enjoy about the program. That might be my favorite thing, other than the fact that, you know, you have almost a one-to-one ratio of student to borrowing. That's great. I really would love to see what the kids in Canada would do with something like this. And you're right, it's making the world smaller. And I could just imagine all of the little things that have sprouted up just because of this. And now it's, you know, it's like I said, just hitting its stride now. Let's revisit this in 2 years again and see where it's at. Because, I mean, we've been saying, hey, you know, when is the audiobook market going to cool down? And it hasn't. It just keeps going and going and going. And I think that's really what it comes down to. And you can almost kind of look at this and say, hey, thanks guys to like Napster and all the music things that happened in like the early 90s where you were downloading music for free. It sort of has a trickle down effect, right? Like now we're looking at this and it's like, huh, why are we paying for all this when we could just make it free? And this is what the authors, this is what the narrators, and this is to some extent what the publishers want. They want the books, whether they're ebooks, audiobooks, whatever media, in the hands of consumers. And that's exactly what they're getting with a program like this.
And you see that, as you said, with music, the way it was, how many people learned about groups they would have never learned underground or from another country. And they, wow, this has good sound. You find that with people seeing foreign movies at film festivals and being able to, whether it has a description for those of us who need it, an audio description, reading subtitles, you get to experience stuff that was forbidden fruit so long ago with audiobooks. And we know, even already, even at this point, as much as people are buying audiobooks, only a very small percentage of the books available in the world have been made into audiobooks. And here you're trying to champion people reading in and out of school, even down to kind of having a contest to kind of like get people competing to read. But those book groups together, Ryan.
And that's the big thing. It's turned annual. So this is, you know, they've been going 2 years strong, and now they're having an annual kind of book contest where it's sent out over the app and it's like, borrow as many books for, let's say, 2 months as possible and read them all. And I guess there's some way to track that, right? It's like, you can't just borrow 80 books and open it and turn page one and then you're done, right? You have to read them and then you win prizes. And it's just almost every student engages, they said, in some way, whether it's, you know, reading an additional 5 books or, you know, the whole category, right? So it's really cool, and that's how you get things, right? You know, hey, let's have a contest. And what better way than to promote a positive reading culture than to have contests and give people, and especially kids, the ability to read for free.
Yeah. I find it just so astounding. And, you know, Margaret and I, from being from a different book era, you know, you just see everything going on. And it's like every time you turn around, Margaret, the table of food just gets bigger and bigger. People are still eating. They're coming up, taking stuff. But every time you turn around, it's like, well, it's where no one's touching it because there's just more and more there. And that's what the audiobooks world is becoming.
You're right. And you know what? It's like we always think, oh, we've seen the best of the best. This is the best idea they're ever going to come up with. And then the marketing geniuses or the partnerships that blend, or someone is thinking outside the box and they come up with something that might just top that next idea. So you just got to keep waiting. And, you know, they're fast and furious right now, all the ideas that are coming, and they have been for a few years now. So it's looking really good for people that love audiobooks and the electronic ebooks.
Right. You know what, Ryan, though, we're out of time. Thanks so much for your information, and have a great long weekend.
You guys too. Enjoy the weather. Thank you for having
Thanks,
me.
Thanks, Ryan. Thank you. Bye-bye. That was Ryan Hui with our chatty bookshelf segment. And today we were talking about a Korean initiative, Bookie Dreams.
We're swinging open the gateway to your weekend, ladies and gentlemen. And our next segment, we've been having a lot of fun with it. I will have to say, we're going to revisit and weigh in on conversations from the past week, give you a few of our own comments when we do it on Cut for Time. You've been listening to Kelly and Company. If you're hooked, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast platform. And be sure to leave us a rating and review. Or you can listen live from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern on AMI Audio.
This was an AMI podcast. For more accessible media, visit AMI.ca.